after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. A little late start today. The weather, and as you can probably hear, I've still got a little bit of a cold going on. So, but we're going to rock it. We're going to be ready to go today. We're bringing in Tanner Schwint here. You going to sit in with me all day?
I'm ready to roll, man.
Is that the plan? Okay.
That's the plan.
All right. We got off to a late start. You guys were rocking and rolling this morning on Good Morning NoCo.
About 5 o'clock was the best time to be driving around Northern Colorado this morning.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
I'm so tired of it.
This is coming from me. I like the snow and stuff, but I'm over it. I'm ready to be done.
It's stupid. It's just absolutely stupid. Comes in last night, sits in there, and when it was snowing this morning, I'm like, it's probably about done. It was not done. I think we got like 5 or 6 more inches while we were just on air this morning. So, yeah, it was. I have never seen that many accidents in Northern Colorado on one day. I mean, I think we probably reported on 20-plus accidents. In one day this morning, it was insane.
And yet you still get people that are pressing and driving up fender bender style. It's just like, calm down, slow down. You know, if you're going to be on the road, you got to go slow. You got to take it easy. But still, there are people that get hot rod mode out there.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, and that's what makes it such a big issue out there.
Leave early, man. When it's like this, you got to leave early. But yeah, it was the roads were ridiculous. I mean, on 257, we're getting reports on 257 heading into Highway 34 there. That little uphill after you head that way, if you're headed southbound, there was trucks that couldn't get up it because it was so slick with the slush out there. It was a disaster. I don't know what they look like now. I haven't left the building.
They were fine when I left from Timnath. I mean, they weren't terrible. Still slushy, though. And if you're driving like an idiot, then you're going to probably go off the road at some point.
No, that's exactly right. The county, I know Weld County closed down at noon, but I know that they are keeping their plow drivers and their snow removing team there later today. But it's just the one nice thing about these storms is at least it'll be gone tomorrow or on Wednesday, right? It'll be gone before the next one comes on Friday.
Is there another snowstorm coming on Friday? Well, at least it's over the weekend.
Yeah.
So that'll be good.
Yeah.
Just in time for the Rockies to start their season.
Let's go, baby.
But they're on the road, though, right?
Yeah, they're in San Diego.
So they're going to throw snow there. Well, Jerry texted about going Sunday. Are you wanting to go to that?
Yeah, I was going to talk with you about it.
Well, I haven't texted him back yet. So he probably gave the tickets away.
I hope not.
Yeah. That'd be
opener?
Fun.
Yeah, that'd be a blast.
Yeah, that would be a blast. All right, CSU notes. I mean, they were supposed to start spring practice on Tuesday.
No.
For some reason, they didn't on Tuesday. I'm not sure why. And then they were supposed to start Saturday.
Nope.
And ended up not doing that. I was going to go out there, but then I was feeling like the Black Death, so I didn't want to go out there and get a bunch of finely tuned athletes sick.
Yeah. Thank you for not worrying about me.
Well, I mean, I feel like I've been sick for like 5 days now, so the infection rate is down.
You think so?
I don't know. I learned a lot
Science.
During COVID. And then they were supposed to go today.
Yeah.
And of course,
this
CSU shut down the entire campus today.
Which,
so maybe tomorrow?
The shutdown guidelines make no sense anymore. About we're going to close now, but we're not going to close now, but we're going to close today. Like, Poudre school districts didn't close today. So you had high school kids still going, you know, high school, elementary, middle school people still going, but couldn't walk to
your campus.
Yeah, you couldn't leave your dorm to get to class today.
I don't know. It's strange. I mean, well, and you said, well, county government shut down. It's like now they're shutting down, but it was the worst was this morning.
The thing that's going to be an issue, though, is the wind as it continues on today, because the wind's really supposed to pick up, causing visibility issues out
Will
there.
It blow enough to clear off my sidewalk? So I don't know, because I did not shovel this morning.
I didn't shovel. Yeah, it'll be gone.
I had to hurry and get in here because I tried to get in before 11 o'clock. It was too late. So at that point, got in, got our stuff figured out and everything. And then, of course, I'm still feeling like the Black Death. So, but we figured it out. We got Michael back there who has just been all over the place.
He's been
trying to get
like
this,
crazy, man.
Get this going, make sure we're rocking and rolling. But it was great to have you and Brian and Angel in this morning, you know, going out to braving the snow, braving the storm to keep people updated.
Yeah, those are the days, and I think Brian even mentioned it this morning. Those are the days that you kind of feel like it's the Super Bowl, right? Because this is what live and local radio looks like. You know, it's not just some conglomerate piping something in, and that's what we're about. I mean, I would ask about a school district this morning. I'm like, why are we not seeing any? Why is Eaton not closed yet? Boom, text. They're on spring break. Why is District 6 not? Why are they not closing? Boom, text. You know, they've got professional development days. You know, and these texts just start started pouring in. So thanks to everybody who was listening this morning and helping us along the way, too, because there's information that's happening live on air that we're trying to get out there. But this is what live and local radio is all about.
Yeah, it's great. And again, you know, this is a good time to mention our friends at Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm. Crazy drivers out there, and yeah. I get it. Weather can be bad, but you still got to be responsible out there. If you're trying to pass people on these roads and you're just being negligent out there, and you become a victim of that, or you know somebody, check them out online at trialproven.com. That's Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. We're going to have Kevin Lytle join us at 12:20. Talk about CSU. We saw where John Tanjay is going, yeah. Missouri.
Yeah.
Wow.
It shocked me.
He's not starting there, is he?
I wouldn't imagine so.
Would you rather be a bench player for Missouri than start for CSU?
I don't know what his family stuff is like. I don't know any of that stuff. But from a pure basketball standpoint, no. Why would you want to go do that?
I don't know. It's weird. And the transfer portal is out of control right now.
I love it. I love the chaos.
I don't love how chaotic it is. I understand the transfer portal, but I don't like how it's being abused right now. I just don't.
Some of them just make me scratch my head a little bit.
Why did Lawson Loveran go to Utah? He's a starter for CU. Yeah. Is a Utah, I don't know where they were this year in the Pac-12 standings, but is that a better starting position than what you have with CU?
No, I was on with Coach Dick on Coach Speak talking about this a little bit. And he said that the people that are really struggling right now is, you know, are actually the high school coaches, because you've got seniors now who would normally sit for a year or something like that. But even here in Greeley with Dalton Connect, you know, whoever Coach Smiley's recruited who is going to maybe sit behind Dalton for a year or two, now may be in the starting role, you know, and you hope that you can transfer in. But I think these mid-majors like UNC, and even, you know, CSU, as bad as I hate to say it, they're going to be the ones who get hit by this the hardest, because they don't have, they're kind of like a feeder program now. And that I do have an issue with. I don't know how you regulate that, but, you know, you heard the NCAA president saying that he's going to see if Congress can get involved or something. You heard Charles Barkley come back and say they're all a bunch of morons. I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, everybody's a bunch of morons in there. They shouldn't be the one, and I agree with them. Our Congress shouldn't be legislating this.
But that's the problem with the NCAA. Same thing with the NIL stuff. They kept kicking the can down the road until it became so out of control that it had to go to the Supreme Court. So we got the Supreme Court dealing with sports. And it was ridiculous because they couldn't get their hands on this stuff 20 years ago. And this is why you're seeing absolute chaos, because the Supreme Court's not going to come in and help you regulate this. They're going to come in and say, no, you can't not let them make money.
Right.
But then it's out of my hands, though. Good luck to you guys. So now the NCAA is left just with nothing.
Right. And I don't know how they didn't get ahead of this. This was the worst kept secret in all of sports, that this stuff was going on under the table. I mean, that people were paying for things for these athletes to come there. It was the worst kept secret. And yet they still kept slapping, you know, sanctions. Here in Greeley it happened, right? I mean, their big dance appearance didn't just... It's not there anymore. It's just gone, right? And so they keep slapping these things down, but not on the blue bloods, right? You saw some of these, and it just got out of control. And it's a shame that the NCAA didn't get ahead of it and say, here's our program, and cap it. Here's how much money you can make, and here's the number of transfers you can do, and legislate it themselves. I don't know why this needs to go to a different organization.
Well, and I was thinking about stuff like Patino. You know, he's still able to coach and getting new jobs and everything. And I think about a guy, and a guy we know pretty well here is B.J. Hill.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we know what B.J. Hill was accused of doing, was like taking tests and all that stuff, helping kids out with their schooling, their online classes and everything. I mean, is that worse than what Louisville was doing and having sex parties going on there on their campus? I mean, again, Patino wasn't directly involved, allegedly, but... They removed him from that program because they believed he had something to kind of do with this.
Right.
Yet he's still coaching at a high level. He didn't have a long period of time where he couldn't coach again. And our guy B.J. Hill, and again, I'm not sitting here sticking up for what he did or anything like that, but it's inconsistent in these rules.
You know, and I don't know if it's really inconsistent, but at least Rick Pitino had a history of winning at programs. He was a bigger name. But when it happens at a mid-major like UNC, you know, B.J. Hill, so, I mean, if I'm Kansas and say, let's say B.J. Hill had made multiple runs at UNC into the March Madness and things like that, then this comes out. if I'm Kansas, how can you justify to your fan base that you're going to bring this guy in? You can't justify it because he never won on a big stage. You know, Patino had won on a big stage in other times. So I guess that's the argument there, is that he had more experience and was a more of a proven coach. But yeah, the sanctions have never made a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it's all over the place right now. But here we are. We're in the midst of the March Madness tournament, and we've got numbers for you. 5-5, 9-4.
Love it. I love it.
I don't love it.
No blue bloods. Get them out of there.
I don't love it.
Oh, it's so good. This tournament is based around the
unpredictability. So the regular season means nothing.
Doesn't mean a damn thing.
Then why do we even have it?
Doesn't.
Just start the March Madness tournament. Make it all the teams. Start at the beginning of the season, and here we go. Because it doesn't matter what you do all season.
But if you get bounced in the first round, you don't have any.
Then you don't have any games. You just have one game.
One game.
That makes about as much sense as what we're seeing right now. And it's only going to get worse. Because
no.
You're going to see the transfer portal is absolutely insane.
I think it's only going to get better because you're seeing Florida Atlantic University, the 34.
I mean, it bodes well for Mountain West.
Yeah, it bodes well for mid-majors everywhere because I can go get stacked on the bench somewhere else, or I can come to this school and you know that the lights are still going to be brightest and you're going to have a chance to play on that
you'd
floor.
Rather see San Diego State FAU.
Than last year,
rather than
Duke and Kansas.
Alabama and, yes. and Purdue,
yes,
you'd rather see that,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
On any given night,
because
you would just
story.
Choose to watch San Diego State FAU rather than seeing
well, not,
Alabama
not in
and
the
Purdue
regular season, no. But knowing the story of how these teams got there, you know, throughout this tournament run, 100%. I want the chaos. I want the madness.
I want a little bit of chaos.
No, I want to look down and go, what just happened?
I still want, at the end of the day, four teams that we kind of somewhat expected to be there.
We've said this all year long, and then when March Madness hit, we said that there was not a true best team this year in college basketball. There was not just a powerhouse. There was not ever just one clear cut, they're going to go win it this year. And it played out in the tournament. It played out in the tournament. I'm sorry, Purdue wanted to be that, win your first round game. We had a 16 seed over a 1 seed. It's only happened twice. So yeah, these little upsets happen, but the amount of craziness in this tournament has been phenomenal.
I like a little crazy, but I don't like a lot of crazy. I just, this is absolutely crazy. I am happy for San Diego State because I think it bodes well for Isaiah Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
I think he you know, his options right now, and I know this for a fact, it's either NBA or CSU.
Right.
No overseas, no transfer portal. It's either NBA or CSU. And again, just given how the season went down for Isaiah, I'm not knocking him. I just don't know that he's going to get drafted.
No.
I felt like Roddy this time last year, I said it, he was going to be a first rounder, and he got that information from somebody that he was either going to go in the second or the first.
It took a lot longer than he thought it was going to take to get that information.
If Isaiah hears in the next month that, you know, he's a first or second rounder, then yeah, he should be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know that he's going to get that kind of information. But now looking at it going, you guys battled against San Diego State 2 out of 3 times this year. I mean, you took them to overtime one game. You almost beat them in the Mountain West tournament.
Should have beat them.
And then now you get to this point where San Diego State's in the Final Four. Now they're leaving the Mountain West, but still, they're going to bring in money. Kevin's going to come on and explain how the money works.
$250,000 a year for 6 years.
Because of what San Diego State just did.
To CSU.
Yeah, that's insane to me. I mean, that's cool. That's great. But now San Diego State's going to leave some money behind as they transition away from the Mountain West Conference tournament.
But that's what's so good about this. That's what's so good about this is that these programs, it's not just elevating their programs, it's elevating their entire conference.
True. So we'll get into more of that. Tanner's hanging out with us today. We're going to have Kevin on. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, I don't know if it's relevant now, but we're going to throw it out there. Does tonight's game between Denver and Philadelphia, will that cement the MVP? Well, one little note, it doesn't sound like his biggest competitor, Joker's biggest competitor in this, is going to play tonight.
Yeah, Woj just tweeted out and said he's not playing. Joel Embiid is not going to play.
How
this
do you
game.
Not? How do you not play this game?
He's ducking him. He's ducking.
Wow.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I mean, Embiid outdueled Joker last time around.
Yeah, on his home court, but he doesn't want to come into Denver.
Well,
and
here's
take on
what's
the
crazy
time.
Is we freaked out and said, okay, maybe the main reason that Joker's MVP status is being questioned is because they went on a 4-game losing streak.
Right.
Well, the Sixers are on kind of a little funk right now, aren't they? I mean, I know Harden's banged up, But they've lost three out of their last four.
Yeah.
You know, they lost to the Suns last night, and then they lost to the Warriors. They lost to the Bulls. So there's a skid going on with Philadelphia right now. So that should knock his MVP status a little bit. He's still the favorite.
Yeah.
So if Joker goes out tonight and lays it on Philly, even without Joel there,
Bet all the overs on Nikola Jokic tonight. I think he goes out there and tries to show something. I think it matters to him now. I think it absolutely matters to him about the MVP race. And I think he goes out there and has one hell
of a night.
He's
been on fire, man.
I think he's going to have a huge night.
The other night he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Do they have the dogs, though? That's been the big question from our texters. And I've been going back and watching The Last Dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, I don't think there's dogs like that anymore. I love that documentary so much. But people always want to talk about, like, oh, Detroit, man, they were the bad boys. And that was mauling, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they were beating dudes up. And while it was entertaining and that was cool for their brand, it's still not really basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just knocking dudes out.
Yeah.
You know?
Nikola Jokic is a dog.
Is he a dog?
Dog.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
In my mind, he is. Michael Porter Jr., dog.
Really?
Yeah. He with the stuff that he went through this year and how he performed, 100% dog. Aaron Gordon, he's got it in him.
Can Aaron Gordon be a Dennis Rodman
in these playoffs? He needs to be.
Because that's what you need.
The one that does not have that dog in him is Jamal Murray.
I don't agree with you. I don't disagree with you on Jamal Murray. I got to see something special from this guy in the playoffs.
Consistently, yeah.
He said, Chris, guys, crazy tournament. I was last place after round one. Have a chance at second with UConn win. Go figure. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Kevin Lytle going to join us next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
Coaches, players, and more with Coach Speak. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show.
It's too good of a song to turn down that quickly.
Oh, yeah, man. That's a great tune right there. Listen to the money talk. Lamar Jackson is not going to hear the money talk, man. I don't know what's going on there. Tanner Schwintz sitting in with us today here in the whole show. As you can hear, my voice could go at any minute. I'm not sure. The head's a little foggy, feel a little weird. It's terrible, terrible head cold. But, you know, it worked out. I was going to try to go out to spring football on was it Tuesday last week, and then Saturday, and then today, and it worked out for me. Kevin Lytle joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Kevin, my man, when will CSU actually get to practice for spring ball?
Well, you know, spring ball is about working out, you know, some of the kinks and, you know, a couple false starts already, but, you know, that's what spring's for. Tomorrow, surely Tuesday, what could go wrong? Surely there won't be unexpected snowstorms or anything like that. That never happened.
So, Kevin, why did they – it was supposed to start Tuesday. What was the reasoning behind that last week?
Yeah, so I'm not – honestly not sure why it got bumped. That initial Tuesday moved back to Saturday. And then, yeah, back-to-back snowstorm Saturday and then today. I actually got to campus. They were all raring to go. They were going to go in the snow. And then campus got closed, which takes the decision out of their hands. They can't go if campus is closed. And so another slight delay. So on to Tuesday.
I'm going to try to be out there, Kevin, but I'll keep my distance. I don't want to get you sick, okay? I'll do what I can. We'll see. Okay, talk to us first. Let's stay on football since we're here. The situation with Avery Morrow right now, CSU running back.
Yeah, so Avery Morrow was arrested in late January. There's an incident with another student on campus. Basically, it's working through the court system right now. He has another hearing coming in late April. So as far as CSU football is concerned, it's kind of nothing will be happening right now. He's suspended from the team, won't be participating, basically, I think, until the legal stuff sorts out and then his, you know, basically future will be determined after that based on what happened. So yeah, as of right now, Avery Morrow is suspended and not with the team, therefore won't be taking part in, you know, spring practices at the start here whenever those do begin.
Kevin, this was a guy that lit it up last year for the Rams. What's the depth chart behind him look like? How big of a loss could this be for CSU?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably an argument for him as team MVP last year. Mm. You know, he certainly was the offensive MVP. You know, I guess maybe with Torrey Horton. But yeah, if he were to not continue with the team, obviously that's a big hole to fill. He had almost 900 yards rushing last year. And yeah, there are no, you know, veterans on the roster. You have, you know, Keegan Hollis, a guy that was awarded a scholarship last year. He's a former walk-on Cherry Creek running back. You have some young guys, you know, Damian Henderson was, you know, an ESPN top 300 recruit, you know, but he is a true freshman. You know, maybe I'm extrapolating this too far because there are too many unknowns, but if he, you know, Morrow were to not continue with the team, you would have to think transfer portal in the summer would be a thing CSU would look at to maybe look at, you know, someone that does have some experience. But obviously there are just a lot of variables and unknowns, but for spring ball, it means some of those inexperienced guys will, you know, kind of get to carry the load. And I guess, you know, from their standpoint, they get to sort of showcase themselves and tell Jay Norvell, you know, regardless of Morrow's status, hey, I deserve some playing time. So from a pure football side, some of those younger guys get a opportunity right now.
Yeah, well, and you'll be rooting for those guys, but obviously it's a big blow. As you said, Morrow was probably the best player on the offensive side for CSU, and now the hope was that you get a better offensive line. Clay Millen has another year under him. Torrey Horton's coming back. So what are the chances at this point, Kevin? And again, I know a lot of information is still up in the air about Avery, but what are the chances he will be suiting up for CSU next year?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to say. I mean, the charges are serious ones, have to be taken seriously. But until all of this plays out, I think we can't, you know, it's hard to really say or project. But yeah, I think no doubt it's a big question mark right now that I'm not sure anyone really knows the answer, you know, probably including Jay Norvell.
Kevin, when spring practice hopefully inevitably takes place, as has been bumped back here, what are you really looking for? I mean, because I am not a fan of spring ball. I don't think you get anything out of it. I think it's a waste of everybody's time, but that's just me. What can we see, or what could we learn about this Rams team for spring ball?
Well, a couple things, Tanner. One, I mean, tell us how you really feel. You don't have to hold back. Two, hopefully, inevitably, is kind of a fun phrase I'm going to adopt. But yeah, spring ball's funny. I mean, in some ways, I agree. It gets a little overhyped by fans who probably take a little too much out of it. But in some ways, I get it. It's like spring training of baseball. Everyone is convinced that what they're seeing means their team is going to be great. But most important for CSU, and we won't get a full answer, but is that offensive line. You know, they have a lot of new guys. How do they look? Again, we won't get a full answer because it is spring ball, and, you know, you don't have your full roster. Even when you're scrimmaging, it's not always 100% a reflection of what the units are. But you need that O-line to be a pretty good chunk better going into next season. So kind of the early glimpses of that, I think, are the most important thing. And then secondarily, I would say, you know, just because it is the air raid and everyone's intrigued by that, you know, how about, we know Torrey Horton's a star. We know Justice Ross Simmons probably is heading that direction too. But what about some of these other young receivers? You know, Lewis Brown, who we saw flashes of, even true freshman Silas Evans is one of the early enrollees that I've heard good things about. So to see some of those guys and kind of how they look as well. But yeah, I think no doubt, don't take any hard and fast answers from spring ball. It's more kind of glimpses and hints at what could be to come.
Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. On to the basketball side of things, you tweeted out moments ago where John Tonjay is going to be playing next season. That's going to be for Missouri. Is he starting for Missouri, Kevin? I mean, I don't know enough about their roster, but you know, the first question I have, you know, is he going to go there and start, or is he going to be a backup? And was that a better position than, you know, obviously he's going to be a starter for CSU if he stayed put.
Yeah, I think it on paper, to me, it looks like a pretty good landing spot. Likewise, obviously, I don't follow them day in, day out, but it seems like he's probably a guy that will start there. I don't think he'll be, you know, the top option, the go-to guy or anything, but it seems, you know, it's a sort of rising team in theory, you know, in a high major in the SEC. So it seems like a pretty good fit in, you know, sort of the Midwest area, you know, not terribly far from where John is from. So it makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, he seems like a guy that, you know, hey, he did his 4 years at CSU, kind of grew from a, you know, smaller bench player to a really important player as a senior. And hey, he has that COVID year and, you know, kind of wanted to use that one shot to, you know, see how he would do at a high major. And it seems like a decent fit for him. So I'll be intrigued to follow and, you know, wish him the best. But on paper, I think it seems like a pretty solid fit.
No, and hopefully it is, because when we see all this, you want to root for the young athlete, no matter what sport it is. You want to root for them when they enter the transfer portal. But, Kevin, I think something that's not talked about enough are the countless number of athletes who don't find a home once they enter into that transfer portal, because it's easy. I'm entering the transfer portal, and then some are never heard from again. Are you seeing that same trend again this year? Because I know last year there was just an absurdly high number of players that didn't find a home.
Yeah, there will definitely be that. And yeah, I think that's part of the leveling out of this that we're going to see over, you know, the next few years of players will start to, as more and more data is available, learn like, hey, you know, the grass isn't always greener, not always smart to jump. There may not be a home to land in. But, you know, the flip side also is some of these players who are in the portal are not there by choice. I mean, you have coaches sit down with players and have pretty tough, you know, honest conversations of, hey, you know, thanks for what you've done, but, you know, we don't think you're a fit here, and they kind of have to go. So that's part of it too as well. So it's a multi-layered thing that's really complicated. And yeah, there, you know, it's not always going to end up with a great spot for every kid, which is, you know, like you say, however you slice it, however the decisions are made, you know, you don't want 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old kids to sort of be left hanging. That's kind of a bummer of all of this.
Well, let's talk about Isaiah Stevens. We kind of thought this would be something that would happen there, but he's going to put his name in for the evaluation process going into the NBA draft, kind of get some feedback, see if he might get drafted, a lot like what David Roddy did last year. But then if he doesn't like the feedback that he gets, he's not entering a transfer portal. He'll be playing for CSU. So, Kevin, that's what I understand right now. It's either going to be NBA or CSU next year for Isaiah. Is that right?
That's sure what it seems like. I mean, Isaiah's sort of statement that he put out, he clearly said, maintain my eligibility to return to Colorado State, as opposed to just maintain my college eligibility. I would have to imagine, this is just an educated guess, but I would have to imagine him and Nico Medved have talked and sort of had that conversation of, hey, is it, you know, CSU or the pros? Because if that's the case, you know, from the CSU side, okay, we'll wait. If you end up going pro, that's fine. We're okay, you know, sort of being behind on recruiting if it's because you're going to the pros. But we can't sit around and wait for you to decide and then say, hey, I do want to do college, but actually I'm going to enter the portal. So, yeah, it sure seems like he basically said what Roddy said of it's CSU or the pros. And yeah, the step to enter the NBA draft process was, you know, a guarantee to happen. So it's basically following the same pattern as Roddy last year. But now is when it changes, because they're totally different prospects.
I mean, with no discredit to Isaiah, but he's not an NBA player yet, is he?
Well, he's about to find out. but that's why it's the big question. I mean, David, I think everyone knew that where he would get drafted was very uncertain, and there was even a little hint that maybe he wouldn't get drafted. But even if not, he would get camp invites or a G League or something like that. Because he was, you know, he just had that unique, you know, body type, playing style, all of that, that both made him a question mark, but also intriguing enough that someone would jump for him. Isaiah's trickier simpler in some ways, trickier in others. Simpler in, you know exactly what position he would play, and you kind of know his skill set and everything. But the tricky part is, hey, is he big enough to, you know, score and defend at a high enough level for that league? But yeah, I mean, what I've heard so far, or even through the seasons, that most people don't, you know, think he's a guy that would be drafted this year.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado one. Well, Kevin, I think we covered it all, man. There's a lot going on with Colorado State.
How much? I just wanted to wonder, in San Diego State, advancing deep into the, you know, making the Final Four. I love it. I love that there's no blue bloods in it. I love the craziness. Brady's like, get off my lawn. I like it, you know, he used to be.
Yeah.
Kevin, where do you sit on that? How much money is coming to CSU because of San Diego State's
run? Explain that, Kevin, because what you're putting out on Twitter, my brain is way too small to understand what's going on.
Explain it to us like we're five.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, I love the unpredictability of the tournament. I think it's great. And I think we're seeing that the depth of college basketball is probably better than it's ever been. I mean, there's a lot of angst around transfers and all that. But in some ways, I think we're seeing the positives of it, too, of, you know, some guys that maybe could have just sat at a high major for years and years instead are going and playing at some of these schools. And then, yeah, the money is significant. So each game played in the NCAA tournament earns that team and its conference, you know, what they call a share or a unit. So Mountain West, got four teams in, so they all get one off the bat for that first game play, and then you get, you know, another unit for each game a Mountain West team plays. San Diego State has kept playing. So basically, all told, it's eight units for the Mountain West. This league shares those units evenly. It gets paid out over a six-year period. Basically, you know, we don't know the unit share until after the tournament and all the revenue is totaled up. But roughly 250 to 300K earned for each school in the Mountain West this year alone, and then again that'll be counted again next year and the year after and the year after. So it's a significant chunk of money coming to Mountain West schools.
A nice parting gift from San Diego State, you might say.
It may well be, but certainly no one is going to be sad about that. And also, it is important. I think my understanding of it is that, let's say, you know, the Pac-12 invites San Diego State tomorrow, and they join next year, which it won't be that quick, but just for the sake of this, those shares down the road still stay in the Mountain West because they were earned, you know, as a Mountain West school.
Well,
that's my understanding of it, at least.
Well, if that's your understanding, then that's what we're going with, Kevin, because you explained this to us. This is huge. I think, again, the one thing I will say that I do love about what we're seeing in the Final Four is this bodes extremely well for those mid-majors, for those Mountain 100%. West conferences. If you're an Isaiah Stevens, maybe it makes that decision a little bit easier to say, I'm going to go back to CSU, dude. We could run this. Who knows? We almost beat San Diego State a couple of times. We could do the exact same thing next season.
Yeah, and another thing you're seeing is kind of veteran teams, old mm-hmm. teams, do very well. And, you know, if Zay would come back, he's obviously a fifth-year guy. You have Patrick Cartier, who's played a lot of college. You know, even like a Jalen Lake, Isaiah Rivera, if they're back, they've played a lot. Yeah, you know, so you would have a pretty veteran squad, and those tend to be the types that go pretty deep, you know, in the current era of college basketball. The one-and-done Anthony Davis teams, those aren't really thriving anymore.
Well, if they can just go get that Anthony Davis type player, Kevin, that seven footer.
That is all you need to do. Just get guys that, you know, are all going to be guaranteed top five NBA picks. It's quite simple, really.
I mean, do I need to draw something up for Nico and friends and then just say, hey, here's my idea for winning it all next year? Seven-footer, point guard ability, free throw monster, nails the three, Gary Payton defense, Dennis Rodman rebounding. I mean, come on, guys. It's not that tough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is what I keep trying to suggest. Just get players who are the very best at playing basketball.
It's a simple game, really.
It's really simple, to be honest, man. Yeah. Kevin, appreciate it. Hey, I might see you tomorrow, man. I don't know yet. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow. It's definitely maybe start of spring football.
Is this one tomorrow? Okay, 8 o'clock, open to the public tomorrow?
Yep, every practice is open to the public, and schedule. It's close to every day. Certainly Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, and a bunch of Mondays mixed in.
All right, man. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you out there at some point, and always appreciate your insight and your coverage on all things Colorado State. Nobody does it better, man. Appreciate you.
Sounds good. Thanks, Josh.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. That's interesting. It's all interesting. I mean, that's the good part about this March Madness tournament, is it does seem to spread it out, where maybe it slows down the transfer portal in some ways, but it does allow for a guy that maybe he's a backup mm-hmm. for Alabama mm-hmm. and goes, why don't I just transfer to CSU?
Did.
No, I get that. But I'm an NBA guy. I like the NBA where there's a seven-game series, best of seven games, mm-hmm. and it's going to show me who the best is.
Do I think that any of the teams that are in the Final Four this year are the best team in college basketball? No, I don't.
Because San Diego State beat Alabama. Could they beat them a best of seven? Could they beat them four times? Probably not.
Probably not, but you're still... This is the madness and the craziness of it is what I live for, and it happened. And I love seeing it, and I am really excited to see who comes out of it. I am pulling for San Diego State. I am pulling for FAU. I know whoever wins that one is going to be my pick, so I'm excited to see that game because you look at Florida Atlantic University and what it does. Somebody broke down the numbers after some of these Cinderella stories went on. The enrollment in the university goes up. The number of people checking them out and just learning about them goes up. It's crazy the positive impact that these deep runs have on schools overall. And that's what I'm here for. And that craziness and that wealth getting spread out just a little bit, I'm here for.
I don't hate it enough to go on a Twitter rant about it, but I just, again, this has always been my thing with March Madness. It's never really the best basketball. You're not seeing the best basketball.
No. Right? And I'm not tuning in to see the best. I would watch the Pro League if I wanted to see it. I think about that with all of the sports. I don't see the best football watching a CSU-CU game. I don't see that. But I see the best at the NFL level. And that's fine with me. I know what I'm getting. I'm getting a lesser product.
Did you see what De'Aaron Fox for Sacramento tweeted out?
Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me, but
he blasted some of the coaches too. He just said
he says bad coaching, bad,
really
shooting.
Bad shooting.
But I've always
really
said this about college because everybody wants to go, I just love the heart and soul and the defense that they play in the league. I'm like, no, you love that guys miss wide open 3-point shots.
I like
on
the
a
heart,
regular basis.
I love the heart and I love the soul because you can see those kids. I don't like calling them kids, but you can see those young men putting that out there. The defense is not that much better. They're just not NBA quality.
They just don't make
the
shots.
Yeah.
I mean, you put a hand in a college kid's face and it's like, ah! You put a hand in an NBA guy's face, nothing happens.
I would say they're more fundamentally sound defensively still. Like, you don't have guys that are just dogging it out there, and I think in the NBA that happens quite often.
12:43 the time. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Thanks to Kevin Lytle for joining us from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. And Tanner Schwint, he just jumped out for a second. I don't know if he's coming back, but we'll see. Texter from the 405, I've been driving all over the Fort Collins, Windsor, and Greeley area since 8 for work. Haven't seen a single snowplow. Any guesses why many roads are still a mess? I don't know. Maybe they just weren't expecting this kind of snow. I didn't think we were supposed to get this much. So maybe everybody was kind of caught with their pants down. Also, from the 970, an update for a baseball game. Guessing those aren't going to be happening today. From Mountain View at Fort Collins is being moved. Well, it's supposed to be from on Tuesday. It's now moved to Thursday at 4:00 at Fort Collins. So thanks for the update there. If you guys have stuff, we'll read it on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Lamar Jackson has now officially, well, I guess it came in March 2nd, has requested a trade. He wants to be out of Baltimore at this point. We just got the news today that he's officially requested a trade. This whole situation is crazy. He tweeted this out this morning. He put out a letter to my fans. He said, I want to first thank you all for all of the love and support you consistently show towards me. All of you are amazing, and I appreciate you guys so much. I want you all to know not to believe everything you read about me. Let me personally answer your question. In regards to my future plans, as of March 2nd, I requested a trade from the Ravens organization, for which the Ravens have not been interested in meeting my value. Any and everyone that has met me or been around me knows that I love the game of football, and my dream is to help a team win a Super Bowl. You all are great, but I had to make a business decision that was best for my family and I. No matter how far I go, how far I will go in this, or where my career takes me, I'll continue to be close to my fans of Baltimore, Flock Nation, and the entire state of Maryland. You'll see me again. I don't know what's going to happen in this situation there, because they have the franchise tag on him. It's the unrestricted free franchise tag, meaning a team can give up, can get him in a trade, but it's got to be two first rounders, and then obviously you've got to be willing to pay him what he wants. I don't see this ending well for Lamar Jackson at this point. This is coming from me, a guy that I'm a big fan of Lamar. I love to watch him play, but this has been a terrible string of decisions for him. I get he's gambling on himself and all that, but he doesn't have an agent. There was weird stuff about some random dude that he was working with in a business, like a business partnership that was allegedly calling teams to try to work out deals. He came back and said it's not happening. The NFL put out a memo to teams to say not to work with that guy. So this is a situation that's just getting out of control, I think, for Lamar Jackson. And I don't know how this is going to end up. Will he end up on a team somewhere? I'm sure there's got to be somebody. I hate to say desperate enough, because Lamar Jackson's a ridiculous talent. But at the same time, you got to give up a lot and be willing to flip over a pretty fat contract for what Lamar's doing. And this is also coming out off of the heels of the Watson situation. So that's been a tough situation. So we'll see how that one plays out. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Let's get you our game beer of the week. Thanks to our friends over at On the Rocks Liquor. Absolutely love what these guys do. This week's game beer of the week is from Crabtree Brewing here in Greeley. Deerfield Strawberry Blonde. That'll look a lot better as the week progresses, I'm guessing. But that's our game beer of the week, courtesy of On the Rocks Liquor. They're half a mile south of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. They got free wine and beer tastings that they do every single weekend, except for this weekend. They're not going to be having one. But for the most part, they are doing them. That's On the Rocks Liquor. 12:51 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Tanner Schwint, this spring for Preps Baseball, a Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
The time, just a two-hour show today. We got in a little bit late. This cold took a nice hold over me over the weekend, but feeling a little bit better. The voice is still kind of touch and go, but glad to be back with you guys here on the show. Coming up in the second hour, let's get into the March Madness and kind of the overall theme of this tournament, which is absolutely madness. The most, I think this is probably the craziest tournament we've ever seen, as far as any kind of predictions and brackets or any of that stuff. But it is good for CSU. This is good for the Mountain West Conference, you know, seeing San Diego State get to the Final Four. So we'll hit that. Sean Payton was talking this weekend at the owners meeting, the NFL owners meetings. He was talking about Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, basically saying, no, we don't want to trade those guys. What does that really mean? What's the I don't want to trade price? Is this Sean Payton playing the game a little bit? Would you like to see the Broncos shop one of those guys? I don't know. And I'll talk about Cortland Sutton's Twitter account. He tweeted something that I don't understand. Some people seem to understand what it means. I don't really get it. But are those two guys, Sutton and Jeudy, who have both been interesting on Twitter, especially Sutton the last couple of weeks with his tweet about, you know, wanting to be somewhere where he's appreciated, is there coming back from all of this? I mean, do those guys want to be in Denver? With all the trade talk, has Sean Payton sat both of them down? That's what I wondered, is sat both of them down and talked to them about the nature of this situation and made them feel like, no, we want you. We value you guys, but we just, you know, it's put out there that we need draft picks. So teams are calling, so obviously we're going to pick up the phone. We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Don't go anywhere. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.